Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda. I'm coming at you here broadcasting from beautiful Oceanside, California. Unlike yesterday, we don't have any clouds in the sky. It's clear, sunny, and about 65 degrees. I want to welcome Bill and everyone who's listening to the show. Thank you so much for telling me that the sound came through all right and that you have sound. And I wanted to give a shout out to Hollis. I know he's been kind of waylaid by family problems or whatever. Hopefully we can pray for him. But he brings us our patriotfamilies.com, and this show is brought to us by him and patriotfamilies.com. So get on over there to that website. We've got over 300 members, and we've got to figure out how to promote that site a little bit better, guys. It's waning, but it's got some great stuff in it, and we do want to do that reunion if we can. I wanted to start today because you know, we had quite a wonderful show yesterday, but with all the news I hear between the time we finish that show and the time I do this one, it is unbelievable what's going on. Hello, Oz. Welcome to the show. Basically, my head starts to explode when I've got the national news, I've got California news, I've got everything in between, and it's like amazing, and it's not good. Because when Bill and I were talking in the chat room earlier, we were talking about if our country lasts till July for the reunion, that would be a miracle. I have no way of predicting anything. I'm not an economist, but I do know that we are in financial straits, that the meltdown could come any time. We've got people, you know, praising the quote legality of these drone strikes and that we have no, you know, constitutional rights and the POTUS can do whatever he wants, and everybody's all, you know, the DOJ saying, oh, it's perfectly legal for him to do whatever he wants, you know, and I'm like, okay. So I'm going to start with John 14, chapters 1 through 16, to calm myself down. We need this, guys. This would be Jesus' words, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and ye hast not thou not known me? Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So that one gave me, hi Ron, welcome. everyone. Welcome. That gave me a lot of comfort today because there's just too much going on. And before I get to the lovely news I woke up to in California with Il Duce Brown, oh, another mini-me Mussolini out there, I just wanted to give you a little bit of history today. And again, as soon as I'm done with a few rants, I'd love to take callers because I have a lot of questions out there, the things that nobody's talking about. I just wanted to remind people that this book, Road to Serfdom, was written about 80 years ago, and this is really cool because it sounds like it was written yesterday. It says, yet it is the support from the left of the tendencies toward monopoly which make them so irresistible and the prospects of the future so dark. So long as as labor continues to assist in the destruction of the only order under which at least some degree of independence and freedom has been secured to every worker, there is indeed little hope for the future. The labor leaders who now proclaim so loudly that they have done once and for all with the mad competitive system are proclaiming the doom of the freedom of the individual. There is no other possibility than either the order governed by the impersonal discipline of the market or that directed by the will of a few individuals, and those who are out to destroy the first are wittingly or unwittingly helping to create the second. Even though some workmen will perhaps be better fed and all will no doubt be more uniformly dressed in that new order, it is permissible to doubt whether the majority of workmen will in the end thank the intellectuals among their leaders who have presented them with a socialist doctrine which endangers their personal freedoms. So we can learn a lot from history, people. And need I say, okay, here's the one that I got from the Mike Slater show. Good old Jerry Brown has decided he's proposing legislation, and he has an all-Democrat majority in Sacramento. And so he wants now all gun owners to not only, this is, you're going to love this, buy liability insurance because they're gun owners and they have to take X amount of gun safety classes, make sure that their guns are unloaded and locked in safes. And of course, this is, it's going to destroy the gun industry in California. They'll all have to move to Texas. I mean, because nobody's going to go out and purchase a new gun and go through this craziness. It's absolutely insane. Liability insurance. This is another scam, another way to just make it harder. I can hardly wait to get out of here. I can't take this state. It's insane. So I don't think that, I don't know if he can go back retroactively, and I'm sure he will with his Nazi ideas, to try to get the ones who've purchased guns already to go through these hoops. But, you know, they'll find a way. California is just evil, absolutely evil. Well, they better not try to come hassle me because they're going to need a warrant. And or if I have any downwind of it, I will make sure that they're moved to a place. And I'll just say, oh, what guns? I have no guns. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm at this place now. I cannot comply with these people anymore. Everything is so bad. And, of course, in August, they're going to, my Social Security is going to be docked $104. They're going to steal $104 of my Social Security payments because I'm going to be eligible for their stupid Medicare, which is obviously not voluntary. It's automatic. How is this possible? Okay. Here's one I got today in the paper. This was the Union Tribune, and this is also on gun legislation. This was on the national stage, and the headline is House Whig GOP signals openness on gun measures. Action possible on checks and trafficking. The irony of this is too funny. So this is from the Washington Post. The second-ranking House Republican, that would be Eric Cantor, another rhino, Tuesday he supports improving a federal background check system for gun buyers, but stopped short of endorsing universal checks on all weapons purchases. The comments by House Majority Leader Eric Cantor of Virginia came as two Whig GOP lawmakers from suburban districts announced plans to co-sponsor legislation to make You're going to love this. Gun trafficking, a federal crime for the first time offense. Does that apply to derelict Holder? I wonder. The moves signal potential openings for bipartisan compromise on gun control. Oh, God. And I also read today that they were they didn't think that this amnesty thing was going to move forward. Who knows? It's just evil. I actually had a good conversation today with my neighbor and explained to her about Agenda 21. She had no idea, but she gets it. She's pretty cool. The moves, Kander giving the most specific comments on gun control by a Whig congressional leader since President Barack Obama outlined his proposals in late January, told CNN in an interview that lawmakers could consider adopting a plan implemented by Virginia following the 07 shootings at Virginia Tech. Boy, they're going to trot them all out. Since the shooting, the state has linked mental health information to law enforcement databases used to conduct background checks for gun purchases. And then, quoting this clown Kanter, I think that we can take a lot of lessons from what Virginia did and put it in place at the federal level, unquote. Kanter told CNN, another quote, because there's a lot of states that aren't doing what Virginia is doing to try to beef up the database for the background checks to make sure that we actually can do something, that does have a chance at reducing the likelihood and hopefully eliminating that from happening again. Well, short of having the precogs and the minority report, you're not going to prevent it, Kanter. So Eric stopped short of saying he supported universal background checks, saying the only that I am for making sure that we increase the quality of information in the database that is in existence already. Kanter aides declined multiple requests to clarify the leader's comments. I'm sure they did. Last month, Obama took 4 executive actions designed to improve the information in the existing background check system. The admin has begun removing legal and regulatory barriers for states to share information. Oh, this is good. About the mentally ill with the federal background checks database and is holding federal agencies accountable for sharing relevant information with the database. The administration is asking Congress to provide $50 million in incentives for states to share criminal history and mental health information with the federal database. So that's one we got. Welcome to the guests and FT. How are you guys doing? Again, please call in, but I just wanted to say there's so much going on with the lame brain media they don't address anything. And I guess my question is, why is nobody talking about these things that are going on with the illegality of these drones and the, usurpations? But I did hear, I can't substantiate it because it was just posted on Facebook just before I came on the air. And that was that in March of this year, that the House of Representatives are going to start impeachment proceedings on Obama because of his involvement or unconstitutional declaring, war practices in Syria and Libya and things like that. And I'm not sure what else they're going to address, but it needs to be fact-checked before we start talking about it. And here we have also, which I had spoken on Mike from the Hot Seat Show about March 15th, and he wants to shut down. Why is nobody talking about this stuff in Texas, the Air National Defense? And then, everybody knows who has half a brain that nobody can ever pay back the money that's owed to China. So he's given away the store to China. Nobody talks about these things. Nobody's talking except on Facebook and other places of WND, Jerome Corsi, and Alex Jones. Nobody else except them, including Glenn Beck. So, he's a dichotomy right now. Sometimes I like him. Sometimes I'm very, very upset with him because he just went off on the statements of Ron Paul, about this Navy SEAL, I think his name was Kyle, who was murdered. And so it's, like I said, my head is just completely coming unglued because of all these things. And nobody is talking about giving away all of our natural resources to China, allowing them to come across the borders. The borders are not secure. Marco Rubio's got his head where on these issues. I don't understand it. Either they're all in on this globalism or they're being warned and threatened by the global elites to keep their mouths shut and to fall in line. And you guys can call in 646-378-0321 to weigh in on this, because I just can't figure out why nobody's out there talking. Of course, I guess the media is owned by the Rothschilds. Ron says, Dr. Paul did not say anything that was not factual. That's correct. Of course, everybody's going to take the spin. You know, they're going to look at his age. They're going to look at what he said in the past, you know, and people that don't like him and think that his foreign policy is wrong. You know, apparently they're not studying their history like they profess to be, because Thomas Jefferson did not, and neither did Washington, believe in these foreign entanglements, and the less we get involved. And of course, we have the UN. That's another problem. Again, I did explain to my friend, with a gun, what's going on with this Agenda 21, and that it was done by the United Nations. I tried to give her the timeline of Pelosi on, you know, YouTube, down the House floor, promoting it back in 1992, explained to her where it started, what their end game is, and I said, you have no idea. This is just pure evil. When I went to, after Ron's show was finished, I went to a meeting in Vista, and one of the people was actually talking about, we were talking about all of these items, and I told the guy from San Marcos, I said, I was explaining to him about this. I says, look, I says, the financial meltdown, the way it's going right now, the ridiculousness, the bloatedness of the government, the Cloward and Piven strategy to collapse the economy is working quite well. I have no idea when it's going to happen, because I'm not good on predicting timing, but there's no progressive on this planet who can stop this. It's going to happen. So, and then I explained to him about the Ides of March and talked about all these things that I had, it was Gary Franchi and I think it's Dr. Jim Garrell from Canada talk, and Corsi and the Alex Jones were all talking about the same things. You know, that this is, that the Chinese actually have absolutely, they're just using Obama because they have no respect for him. They call him monkey man, even on the streets of China. They know he's a traitor. They call him a traitor. It's, yeah, not sure why everyone, yeah, maybe it's a slow news day, Ron. I don't know, because they're not talking. That's my question. Welcome, Rod. Didn't see you pop in there. How are you doing? That's my question. Why is nobody speaking on these things? Nobody's standing up and shouting. People just don't understand. I did several blogs on Agenda 21 today in the local newspaper because my friend Linda across the street, she gives me all this stuff from the UT, and you can go on Facebook link and whatever, and you can post your comments to whoever is reading these comments online, et cetera, from the Union Tribune. And I did put down Rosa Corey's website, and I put Tom DeWeese's website, and I said, you people need to do your homework because you have no idea what you're talking about. And I said, all of this Agenda 21, all of this roundabouts, all of the trap bombing, all of the smart growth has to do with being out of your automobile, zero automobile by 50. People need to wake up. Hey, Ron, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Ms. Linda.
Hey.
You know, I have a lot of respect for Oz, and exactly the things that he's saying are much the same heat that I'm seeing online in some of the different groups. And I would invite Oz to call in.
Absolutely.
Because I'd like to have a rational conversation with someone about this. What I see is a bunch of people flying off the handle, and you know, Oz's comment, he doesn't give a damn about a Marine getting murdered. How do you gather that? What portion of his tweet brings you to the conclusion that he doesn't give a damn about a Marine getting murdered? Let's forget for a moment that the guy is a Marine for a moment. Just what makes
right.
you think that he doesn't give a damn about the fact that guy was murdered? What he said, so now I gather that from his stance on Islam and Islamic terrorism in general. Now we're getting, I think, to the crux of the matter. Because you believe that when Ron Paul says statement A, B, or C, you've read into his mind, you're a mind reader, so you know exactly what it is he intends, where his heart is at, and so you extrapolate that into this statement. the truth is, what Dr. Paul tweeted was that it seems to bring to fruition, or seems to bring reality to the adage, he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. Then he went on to say, treating PTSD at a gun range doesn't seem to be a prudent choice or an idea. I'm paraphrasing.
Right. That's what I understood.
Okay, so let's apply some logic to this. Chris Kyle was a Navy SEAL, not a Marine, and they will definitely tell you there's a distinction, but nonetheless, don't want to split hairs. He was a Marine or a Navy SEAL sniper. He was a warrior. He used a weapon, a sniper rifle, a gun. He was murdered by a man with a gun. So the adage of live by the sword, die by the sword, translated live by the gun, die by the gun, seems to me to be 100% factually accurate and correct. And in no way does that denigrate the memory or the honor or integrity of the man that was murdered. I don't see how it diminishes him at all. In fact, I'm sure that if you could resurrect Mr. Chris Kyle and ask him, he would probably tell you, well, this isn't exactly how I had envisioned going out, but I certainly understood the responsibility and the risk that I was taking on by donning the uniform and taking up arms, and probably fully expected to be killed in battle quite easily. The second part of that was that what Mr. Kyle was doing was trying to help his fellow veterans who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder by getting them out on a gun range and doing something that's familiar to most all military members, and that is, you know, shooting a firearm and perhaps relieving some stress. And I think the point that Dr. Paul was trying to make, and yes, it was ill-worded, I'll give you that, it was insensitive perhaps given the circumstances. And again, you know, now I'm in the position of trying to glean what Dr. Paul could possibly mean. I've watched the man in committee hearing after committee hearing after committee hearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Standing up for our veterans, our troops, our people who are used as nothing more than cannon fodder.
Right.
For political agendas. We're not talking about, let's be honest, we're not talking about a defensive action, okay,
correct,
in Iraq or Afghanistan or Syria or Libya or Korea or Vietnam. Let's be honest. We're talking about furthering a political agenda, and from where I sit, that political agenda seems to be the United Nations Charter. I can't draw any other logical conclusion
right
from it. But I think what Dr. Paul was saying is, you know, obviously, due to the outcome, the fact that Mr. Kyle was murdered in this undertaking, probably not the best idea,
right,
of taking people who are mentally unstable from combat and the rigors of war and putting a weapon in their hands.
Right. Well, and plus the fact that, let's not forget that these people are, once they're diagnosed with this PTSD thing, they're just loaded up with drugs from Big Pharma, that God knows what the outcome is. You know what,
correct,
I'm saying?
That's absolutely correct. And I think, you know, and I can only surmise, I can only guess, you know, and it is what it is. The guy's retired and people are going to get pissed, and the people that hate Ron Paul are
right
going to hate Ron Paul no matter what he says. So, and that's okay. I'm, you know, I'm over that. But my point is that can we at least try to apply some rational thought and logic to the situation rather than having an emotional knee-jerk reaction. And I understand the emotional knee-jerk reaction. I was in the military, and I was one of those guys. I was one of those guys. I had a guy that worked for me back when the whole first Gulf War thing was going on.
Oh my
and
gosh.
He was running his mouth about, oh, it's all about oil, this, that, and the other. and I threatened to knock his head off his shoulders because I was one of those guys. I'm like, you're just a freaking idiot. You don't know crap. It's about America. It's about freedom. Well, I apologized to him many years later because I realized he was right and I was wrong.
Yeah. But I couldn't
see that. I was blind from this false ideology of patriotism. It's not patriotism.
Well, no, this is the industrial complex, the military, and I do believe that, you know, all of these clowns have been selected all the way from who knows, maybe Lincoln's time, who knows. And Eisenhower said he was probably one of the first to say beware of the military industrial complex way back then. So not that I held out high esteem for any of these clowns, because I think he was also involved. His name came up in my book that I was reading from my friend on the infiltration of the churches since 1887 in this country by the communists and the progressives and the New World Order freaks. So, you know, you can take a look at all of them. And the one thing that I liked about Glenn's show today was he had the gentleman on from Yale, and I can't remember his name, forgive me. He was actually a survivor. He was targeted by the Unabomber way back when, and the Unabomber tried to kill him, and he just blew off one of his hands. But the man lived, and he's brilliant. And he says, because when they were talking about technology and this artificial intelligence and how down a slippery slope this can go, and, you know, he said, if we did this 50 years ago, when people still had moral clarity and people still believed in God and understood that we have souls, and these robots don't have souls, you know, he says, but if we don't get back to that situation where we have God first and that humans have souls and that there is a difference between any dang machine you can come up with and that we are not creators, we might be co-creators as, you know, when we procreate, but we are not the end-all be-all. Man is so damned arrogant, no wonder God gets PO'd from time to time. Even though he's slow to anger, and like this gentleman said, he's a professor at Yale. The only conservative probably in the whole bunch. But he's absolutely correct. I mean, he had it. He nailed it. He says you have to separate a true human being and make sure that distinction always stays. And if we don't get our morality base, you know, in our hearts at least, in our society, we're doomed. It's not good. So, I mean, what say you?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things, and I don't know. I just don't see it as being cold, and I guess we'll just have to disagree on that point. And for me, I guess having confronted a lot of animosity and all the different ideologies or perceptions, I guess, of what America is or what it should be or what it was or what it could be. This is really the point, isn't it? This is what all this is about. I mean, it's why the progressives, the liberals, the Democrats, the Republicans, the Whigs, it's why we have this constant debate. It's why we will never have any kind of true unity, because there's always these stupid emotions that we stick in the way.
Exactly.
Rather than sitting down and saying, okay, let's take emotion out of the picture for a moment, and let's look at this purely from a logical standpoint and try to have a logical debate. It's just like tonight on my way home, I was listening to Eric Erickson, and he had a Congressman Paul Brown on, who is announcing that he's going to run for Senator Saxby Chambliss's empty Senate seat because Chambliss is retiring.
Okay. I like Paul Brown, by the way.
One of the things that Paul Brown had said some time ago was he made some statement about abortion. Okay?
Right.
And so Erickson is sitting there, and all Brown wanted to talk about is spending, 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 spending. And I understand the message, and I get it, but I'm sitting here riding along, and I agree with what he's saying. And I'm riding along, and I'm wanting to call in and say, look, dude, you're not selling me, okay?
Wow.
I, I agree, spending is an issue, but, you know, I've had this smoke blown up my skirt before.
Right.
So, what Erickson was asking him, he said, look, I got a lot of people asking me the question. It's you and I are friends. He said, it's going to come up. You're going to be, you know, ambushed with it, so I don't want you to think I'm ambushing, but what do you think? What is your position on abortion due to pregnancy due to rape? And the guy sidesteps the question. Not entirely. He said, look, I'm pro-life. And then he goes right into spending, spending, spending.
Oh, my gosh.
And I wanted to call him and say, look, guy, okay, I hear what you're saying. And you don't have to sell out your principles, but we have to get past this nonsensical abortion argument. And I don't mean that killing unborn children is minimal, and I'm not
right.
trying to minimize
right.
it.
Right.
But we got to get past that argument.
But
and,
yeah, who's going to pay for it is what well, I think what the big debate is about.
I'm not even worried about who's going to pay for it. Ask me the question, okay? Ask me the question. How do you feel about abortion for a pregnancy induced through rape?
Okay,
and my response is going to be, look, if we're talking about my own personally held beliefs, I believe in the right to life. I believe it's enshrined in our Declaration of Independence and in our Constitution. But if you want to continue posing this ridiculous hypothetical question,
right.
I'll give you a ridiculous hypothetical answer. How's about we do this? If a woman is raped, she has the option, medically, pharmaceutically, when she's presuming that she's reported the rape and she's at a doctor seeking medical attention, there is this thing called the morning after pill.
Exactly.
And I would be perfectly fine with the administration of that particular medication in this instance because, quite frankly, we cannot establish at this point in time whether or not conception has actually occurred
taken
or not.
Place. Right.
So this is a preventative measure so
it's
that she
like,
does not conceive due
yeah,
to a rape.
Right,
I think
almost,
that is reasonable.
It's almost like inducing a, what do you call it, miscarriage without
right.
being, yeah.
But
yeah.
The fact of the matter is, to a scientific medical certainty,
sure.
within 24 hours of a woman being raped, you cannot determine whether or not conception has occurred.
Right.
And I think it's perfectly reasonable. It makes sense. Now, can we get back to the issue at hand that's facing this country and is going to derail us, and it's not
oh, yeah.
abortion?
That's for sure. That's, well, okay, if you look towards the globalists and the, you know, as Alex Jones calls them, the inbred psychopaths, who the cabal who run things, eugenics is on their minds. Even Al Corleone was spouting it the other day, you know, talking about people's, you know, lives being whatever the measure of what productivity, et cetera. Very, very much like the old Margaret Sanger and the Darwinist theory and the George Bernard Shaw theory and the rest of them. It's coming back to the forefront. All the old evils are haunting us, Ron, right now. So this is scary times. I mean, couple that with this insane technology. They're trying to take the guns away. Did you hear what Jerry Brown's doing? Did you catch that part?
I have not.
I heard this today. Good old Il Duce in my state wants to make gun owners have liability insurance and then takes gun safety classes and lock their guns in the safe. Or, you know, I mean, this is nuts. I want to put him in the bottom of the Pacific Ocean tomorrow, but I can't do that.
And, you know, and to me, a good response is for a large group of responsible citizens who own firearms to stand up and say, I'll tell you what, Governor, I am more than willing to take extraordinary measures of responsibility. But before I do, how about you guys pass a bill in your state legislature whereby we, the people, can hold you accountable and force you to be a little bit more responsible with our money.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
Now, once you get your head out of your posterior
and
you begin operating on a 100% balanced budget without redistributing anyone's wages,
absolutely,
then we can kind of have a rational conversation.
A conversation.
Perhaps I should lock my guns in a safe, which I already do anyway. Not that it's any of your damned business, sir.
See, you have munchkins in your house. I don't. Do you know how fast I can get my hands on my piece? I mean, nothing.
Well, I can assure you that sitting right here in my desk drawer, right next to me, within arm's reach, is a firearm. There are three more in my automobile, and there are a few in my gun safe. But I'm also not an idiot, and so I would never in a million years leave one of my pistols or a rifle or a shotgun laying around in condition one, which means all you got to do is drop the safety and pull the trigger, when the kids are around. It's just a matter of personal responsibility.
Right. I have no children in my house. The only time the kids come is with Jenny, and they're in plain sight. They know not to go in my room, and they can't open that drawer anyway because it's so filled with lead. But, no, it is.
Well, and even when all the kids are here, none of my grandchildren are allowed to meander through the house unsupervised or unattended.
Right, absolutely. No, I mean, 9 times out of 10, the kids are, and I usually shut all the doors, and I watch them when they come into that bathroom area close adjacent to my room. So, and Jenny's like white on rice on these kids. That's the mom, and she's like always wants to know where they are. So,
oh, well, sure, because you know they're going to get into mischief,
and
bad things happen.
That's right.
You know, when my kids were small and I got my first handgun, it did not have a safety. There was no safety on the gun, period. It just wasn't designed that way. And so one of the things I did is my kids were getting a little bit older. I called them out in the living room. I showed them all my pistol, and I made sure it was unloaded, no rounds in the magazine, in the chamber, and I handed it to them. And I showed them, this is how you cock it.
Right.
Go ahead and cock it for me. They couldn't do it. They weren't strong enough to pull the slide back, even my son, who was the oldest. So that, to me, established in my mind, okay, I know for now, at least, even if they did stumble across it,
they can't
shoot somebody with it.
6 months from now, it might change if they get stronger.
That's right.
Yeah.
and we have the conversation. I took my son hunting with me when he was all of probably 4 years old.
So that
he could understand, we shot the bunny, he thought it was great, we pet the bunny, then daddy skins the bunny, and he says, oh.
Yeah, he got it, absolutely.
Right, because you can't explain to a four-year-old what death is.
They don't, they can't, because they're so full of life, and they're so little, and, you know, they have nothing but love around them, you know. They're so close to the birth age, they're just sweet, you know, they haven't been corrupted.
And I think that, if we really want to be honest in this country and the gun culture that everyone talks about, I think that a large portion of the problems that we see with, the younger generation is the parents have not been responsible gun owners and responsible parents.
Parents, to
They've
begin
not
with.
Been good stewards of their children to educate them and to ingrain in them that this is serious, and it's not a movie, it's not a freaking toy.
Right.
And to me, any self-respecting individual who has children and firearms that goes out and buys their kid a toy gun ought to be given 20 lashes for being stupid.
Of course, now everybody's, getting in trouble for bringing toy guns to school. The kids are getting trouble for pointing their fingers, like looking like a gun, making paper guns out of paper. I mean,
evaporated from the face
none.
Of the planet.
And for the life of me, I do not understand why people still allow their kids to go to public school. I mean, there has to be a way within a community to figure out, as grown-up adults, and a whole bunch of moms get together and say, okay, we're taking turns here. You know, if I have to do it on Saturday for 2 hours because I have to work and the rest of y'all are just housewives, there's got to be a way, Ron. It's called ingenuity. Ben Franklin had common sense and ingenuity. He got things done on his own. He didn't have a federal government. He didn't have, you know what I'm saying?
I understand exactly. And you know, it's, I had someone contact me today. He's wanting to run for office on a forum. And he put out a little questionnaire trying to get some feedback. And when I typed in a bunch of things, he's like, what have you done to help secure and defend your rights, blah, blah, blah. So I started typing some stuff in there. And, you know, so he contacted me and said, hey, I'd like to sit down and talk to you because I am looking at throwing my hat in the ring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd like to pick your brain. I said, you know what? That'd be great. And we carried on a little bit of a conversation in a chat. And, you know, I told him, I said, unfortunately, the majority of people in this country, conservative or otherwise, they will take it to the level of sending emails. They'll pick up the phone and make a phone call, maybe mm-hmm. even. Some few of them may even show up at a rally of some sort. But that's about as far as they're going to go.
Exactly. No, you know, this is a thing. That's why I go. I've gone to so many meetings in the last week, Ron. I can't even tell you. Monday night, I've got one coming up on the 20th. There was like two last week. There was just so many of them. And the more people that I reach, you know, even if I only get one person, this lady heard me speak in the meeting, you know, asking a question of the speaker, and she actually wanted my email, et cetera. So I did that, and I got hers, invited her to the show today. I don't know if she's in as the guest, but you know, I'm reaching out to everybody. I put out my blogs telling them about Agenda 21 every single day at the comment posting section of the Union Tribune, which I was reading from earlier. And there's several articles. And so this is like, if it's linked with your Facebook, you could do it. You just get in there. And believe me, I let them have it. I tell them because I have to try to reach people. This is crazy what's going on here. There's no education, like Bill was saying, the public education. I had the conversation with my friend Pat. We went to the Escondido meeting, and we had 350 people screaming, telling these guys at the Army Corps of Engineers, no, we don't want a trash dump on our sacred Indian land up here that's on a river that's going to come downstream to Oceanside, and we'll have polluted water. Thank you. You know, and we did. It was amazing. Channel 9 covered it, too. It was cool. Anyway, so I told Pat, I said, look, I said, the reason that the people don't know anything, Pat, is because they don't read anything. They're lazy. We've had 90 to 100 years of indoctrination. I said, my mother's 90 years old. I told her 4 years ago, and when I brought them in 2010, I have 35 books. I brought them in the drawers. My mother started reading them. She says, Linda, I never knew any of this stuff. I says, of course not. That's by design. She says, the history books they gave us were so boring and dry and horrible. I says, yes, it was on purpose. And she gets it now. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She knows. She's so PO'd at these people. She says, I can't believe that I was that blind for my whole life. I says, Mom, I was too, till 5 years ago. And when
you know, it's like I scarcely can call them debates that I've had with the atheist online.
Yeah.
And, you know, that to me, it's absolutely an oxymoron for someone to proclaim they're A, a patriot, and B, an atheist.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and I keep asking the guy, what is your foundational basis for logic and reason? Where does it come from? Okay, because if we follow this to its natural conclusion, okay, so the premise is, A, there's no God. So if there is no God, then B, we all exist by some fluke of natural
selection.
Chemistry, right? Yeah. Well, not even natural selection, but some evolutionary chemistry
a
billion years ago, and here we are. So how do you have a foundational basis for logic and reason? Because quite frankly, in your belief system, your thought process is nothing more than a chemical reaction that has no basis behind it whatsoever.
Uh-uh.
It's a couple of chemicals bumping into each other and being triggered in a body. You're no different than a damn rat, a mouse,
a cat,
or anything else. Oh, but you have self-awareness. How do you know that you have self-awareness? Where does that knowledge come from? What What is that in us that's inherent that we have that ability? It's just simply a chemical reaction, sir. Why are you repulsed by child rape or molestation or murder or anything else? Because after all, it's just a chemical reaction.
Uh-huh.
In the grand scheme of all this chemical soup that we're swimming in. I mean, it's just insane.
Plus the fact that you have to realize that when God created us, I mean, you have a conscience, you have awareness, you have life experiences, you have a mind, and you have a soul, and all of those things have to come into play. I mean, a robot has never actually touched grass or smelled grass. It's just input. It's still a machine. It
right.
does not have a soul. And if people don't get that now, before this explosion of technology hits, man, we are, in fact, they were talking about it on Glenn's show today that, can you imagine with today's technology with Mengele and Hitler, what would have happened? There wouldn't be a Jew left on the planet.
Well, one of the things that strikes me, and I don't even bring it up 99.999% of the time because it just alienates people, okay?
Okay.
But one of the quotes, you know, that disobedience to tyrants is obedience to God.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of Christians out there that, in my humble opinion, have a misinformed reading of a lot of the scripture. Romans
sure.
13 comes to mind immediately.
Right.
Okay? We're not supposed to be mindless robots. And
oh,
we are
God.
Supposed to stand up to evil in the face of evil.
You bet.
We're not supposed to return evil for evil. That would be wrong. But that doesn't mean we call it out or we don't call it out. Take the story of, you know, Meshach, Shadrach,
oh, yes.
and Abednego.
Abednego. Yeah.
Okay. So here is I completely lost my train of thought now that I got into that. But the point is that, I know what it was. Okay. He who loves his life shall lose it. But he that loses his life for my sake will gain eternal life. If you are so attached
right.
to living in the flesh, in the here and the now,
mm-hmm.
that you're not willing to risk that comfort and you want to cling to all those material comfort things.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and you're not willing to take even the tiniest little risk towards, God forbid, disobedience to the government,
uh-huh.
right? Then you've already lost your life because you're a slave.
Exactly. My question I could put to anyone is whether you have a place in the Lamb's Book of Life or you're going to go to hell because of your actions and your, you know, disconnect with God and your rejection of God. Are you going to take your wealth with you? No. To any direction. So get over it. You know, and we could go through history. We've got Martin Luther King. We've got people like...
King, Gandhi, Rosa Parks... And that's the point. What are you so afraid of if you know that you're saved and that the worst they can do to you in the flesh is kill you, right? Take your life. What
right.
the hell are you waiting for? What are you worried about?
Well, you know, you've got people like Bonhoeffer. I mean, this goes through history where people will lay down their lives. In fact, when I was listening to Bill Whittle's speech, I think I sent it to everybody. If not, I'll get it to you. It was amazing. It was called "Where Do We Go Now?" You know, where do we go from here? Talking about winning elections, et cetera. And he says, "I'm so sick of politics." He says, "We've got to go back to the message and the messenger." And the question is America worth saving? And he talked about. He says, "Yes, I do believe it is." He says, "Not just for my kids, myself, my grandkids, and posterity." No, he says, I said this to you guys in D.C. when we met in that restaurant downstairs. We were all there in 2010. That we owe it to the people who did this for us, and that owe it to the founders. Those people, every single one of those people were farmers, little militiamen, people with their muskets, no shoes in the winter in Valley Forge. 8 years. We owe it to those people. My God, look what they did.
Not
they
only
have,
that,
they have guts.
I think we owe it to ourselves and to our posterity, our children, our grandchildren. And I'll pose a question for the group here. I posed the question online to one of the guys that was on the rant over, uh-huh. you know, the whole Chris Kyle comment. and just going on and on about, you know, military bases and this and that and the other. And I said, well, and he said, he kept saying America, America, America. And I asked him, I said, well, let me ask you a question. What is America?
It's an idea.
So what is America? Is it the government? Is it the people?
Yeah.
Do you have any clue? And he goes, oh, okay, I see. You don't know what America is, so you're confused. I said, no, I know what America is. I'm wondering if you do. Because from your answers, I don't believe that you do. And you're right. America is an idea. And it's one that has yet to be fully realized.
But here's the thing. Look, okay, even in spite of all the evils that have come after the ratification of the Bill of Rights, as you well know, look what we did in spite of these progressive evils.
Yes.
Look what we've accomplished. Because when that's why I was so enthralled with the 5,000-year leap, because it's an absolute truism that for all that time through, you know, from Garden of Eden to the time that, we got away from England with our declaration and we formed this union, they were living with fire. They didn't have... Come on, for how many thousands and thousands of years? Look what this idea gave us. Individual freedom, individual responsibility. God is the creator, nature's laws and nature's God. My Lord, this is just, this is astounding that people don't make this connection. But the founders did, even Jefferson. And when he got older, he was like, he was signing stuff in the year of our Lord Christ. He was there. He knew he was getting ready to die.
Well, and you know,
and
I'll throw this out there, and I know this will stir some people up, but it's what I think truly is the story. I think in the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, humanity was as close to perfection as possible.
Yeah.
Okay, without being God.
Right. Right.
Okay.
There was still that distinction.
I believe that the violation that took place in the garden, the fruit, was a metaphor, and I believe that what occurred in the garden was a corruption of our genetic makeup.
Right. Oh,
okay. A corruption of the bloodline.
Sure.
Which was the adversary's plan.
Sure.
To corrupt the bloodline of the Savior to come.
Mm.
And I think that the struggle that we all face every day is the goodness in us is a reflection of God, our Creator.
Right.
And the evil that exists in all of
us. Sure, it's the bloodline of Satan.
That is in all of us is that corruption of
Satan,
the original. And that's my take on it. And I think we all have an internal struggle.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why they always put those cute little commercials where the devil's sitting on one shoulder and the angel sitting on the other's shoulder. Absolutely. When you say we're in a fallen world, you are not kidding.
Sure.
You know, I mean, and all of this is scriptural. And if we just read it and understand it, in fact, I remember, this is about 2 or 3 years ago, and Glenn had a rant on one of his shows, and he says, for the love of Pete, he says, let's start with the Bible. And then we'll move on to the Declaration and the Constitution for the love of heaven. You know, do something.
That's so true. And you know, the thing of it is, and I've tried to have this conversation with members of my family, and it's like a brick wall, and that's okay. Yeah. I'm okay with that. I don't want to try and push them off their foundation.
Yeah.
But most of us, if we truly, honestly reflect on how we came to the understanding of Scripture that we currently have, it's because that is what has been told to us, taught to us, repeatedly and repeatedly. And we go in and we read the words and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, it says right what he said it did, you know, so that must mean what he said it means. It's not from personal research and trying to understand the book in its totality. We are lazy, and we accept for granted what we've been told. Well, that must be right. It makes sense to me. Yep, it works. It fits.
well,
rather than trying to figure out the bigger picture and You know, my wife has asked me, what does it matter? Why do you care if it's X, Y, Z? I said, because it does matter. It's the truth. The truth is what I'm after.
I know. I agree. I mean, after I read a gazillion history books, and then I went back to my scripture, and I started reading the books of Moses and everything, it started to make sense to me, because then I was actually reading my Bible as a history book, because when you go back that far back in the Old Testament, it starts to make sense to you. It's amazing.
It's like reading a whole nother
yes.
book.
Yeah.
One you've never picked up in your life.
I know. It's awesome. It's just amazing. And a lot of it was inspired by Patriot Families, things you've said, the debates we've had, you know, ad nauseum with other people. And this is a good thing. We need to have the dialogue. This is why I was, you know, so upset. And I, what I'm doing now is I'm trying to tone it down just a little, because I'm going to turn people off. They'll think I'm Alex Jones or Jesse Ventura if I go too nuts. So I'm trying to do like you guys have done, and I know on your shows, and you start a debate by asking the person a question in a very calm way, you know, and then try to elicit either their beliefs or their cognitive dissonance out of them, you know what I mean? Because if you don't approach it that way and then explain to them what you've learned in a calm manner and say, look, here's the place to go to check, fact check me, here's what's going on, see if this makes sense to you, you know, here's the warnings, please, you know, at least try to educate oneself and go from there, we're never going to get anywhere. That's what I'm doing now in all of my meetings and my blogs, and, you know, sometimes I get a little overzealous because I get so frustrated because I'm watching these people from the city council on up goose-stepping towards the boxcar. And I can imagine Lenin sitting there wringing his hands and putting down his gun saying, what the hell do I need a gun for? They're doing it on their own.
It's so easy.
It's amazing.
You just want to snatch them by the hair and just crack them across the bridge of the nose one time and say, okay, now do I have your attention?
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
But you can't.
I know.
You know, Christ was absolutely correct to be wise as a serpent and meek as a dove.
I know. Yeah, you've got to. I mean, there's like
you
a
cannot
there
come out swinging, because if you do, they're on the defensive immediately, and you're not going to get
one
syllable.
No.
To sink yep. into the gray matter, not one.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, everybody. I know I've got like 2 minutes left, and I was going to play a little bit of this thing. And thanks so much, Ron, for filling in and calling in and all that stuff, because we always need to have these debates. And Michael and Oz and FT and Bill, thank you guys so much. Just a little bit of this, and I might play the rest next time. It's by my friend Bradley Dean, and he was really cool. This guy's good. I've had him on my show before. It lasts for 5 minutes, but we only have 2 minutes left. So love you guys. Blessings to everyone. Here we go. Thanks, Ron.
I got to run. God bless everybody.
Thanks.
Oz, God bless you, brother. Bye-bye.
If I can get it to work. Thank you.
Time magazine has labeled the following people Man of the Year. Adolf Hitler was declared Time's Man of the Year in 1938, and Hitler was a fascist dictator whose dangerous political power grab cost the lives of over 50 million people during World War II, 405,000 of whom were American soldiers, and 12 million of whom were exterminated through the Holocaust. Joseph Stalin was declared Time's Man of the Year in 1939 and 1942, Stalin was the cruel tyrant of the Soviet Union, who was responsible for killing 20 million of his own citizens. President Franklin Roosevelt referred to Stalin as a kind Uncle Joe back in the 1930s. Stalin said, "America is like a healthy body, and its resistance is threefold: its patriotism, its morality, and its spiritual life. If we can undermine these three areas, America will collapse from within." Nikita Khrushchev was declared Time's Man of the Year in 1957. Nikita Khrushchev was a Russian communist who seized power as a dictator over the Soviet Union when Joseph Stalin died in 1953. He liked to threaten and bully his opposition, and his leadership of the communist bloc in the Cold War was so dangerous he had to be removed by his subordinates. Nikita Khrushchev said, "We don't have to destroy America with missiles. America will destroy..."